Today, Krista is back on the podcast, and here's a quick rundown of three common nutrition myths that we're going to be busting today. We're going to be talking about, first off, that vodka water and club soda is okay. Number two, if it fits your macros, it's okay. And finally, we're going to wrap things up with natural or all natural labels are always healthy. If you don't know me, my name is Matt Banward. I own Red Wolf CrossFit in Huntington Beach, California with my wife, Caitlin. And we start this podcast with one goal in mind, and that was to make fitness education accessible, engaging, and effective for everyone. Chris is back on the podcast. So good to have you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So good to have you. Let's get right into myth number one. So vodka water / club soda is okay. So just quickly tell us what vodka / club soda water is in the first place.
Sure. So alcohol is still alcohol. We do have this myth that maybe if I'm not drinking vodka soda, that vodka water or club soda is healthier, or even the spiked seltzers, right? A lot of people have this belief. It's only 100 calories. Alcohol, unfortunately, is still alcohol. So it is doing a lot of disruption to your metabolic processes in your body.
Okay. And describe for someone who doesn't know what metabolic process is, explain that for us.
Sure. So unfortunately, 1 to 2 drinks can actually disrupt your metabolic process for your glucose, your protein. It slows your protein synthesis and also all of your nutrient absorption. So to get kind of sciencey with you, think of the Krebs cycle. So if you learned this way back in health class, there's this cycle called the Krebs cycle. This is what gives energy to the powerhouse of the cell, your mitochondria.
Right.
So unfortunately, alcohol slows that, halts that process for up to 6 hours. So if you're drinking every single day, your nutrients, unfortunately, are being dismissed because your body is mainly focusing on metabolizing that alcohol instead of breaking down the nutrients that you absorbed.
Interesting. So alcohol is actually, in a nutshell, or in kind of like more simple terms, it like actually blocks the absorption of everything else that you're consuming that is good. So let's say you have like a really good workout that day, you have a really good post-workout meal, but then that night you go out drinking, what happens?
Yeah, unfortunately, it actually decreases your testosterone level. It even makes your testosterone convert to estrogen. So in males specifically, this is something that, you know, you guys try to avoid, right? A lot of men take estrogen blockers or testosterone boosters. This is decreasing your ability to grow the muscle. So unfortunately, alcohol is, I like to say in bodybuilder terms, is doing the exact opposite that your creatine would be doing.
Okay. Interesting. No, that makes perfect sense. Tell us a little bit more about how alcohol also affects like sleep patterns.
Yeah. So it could decrease your ability to have complete sleep at night.
Okay.
And your cortisol, unfortunately, when you sleep, your cortisol, that's the time for your cortisol to shut off. Alcohol increases your cortisol level. So therefore, you're in fight or flight, you're stressed. So when you're trying to relax and sleep, unfortunately, it's doing the exact opposite. It's keeping that cortisol up so that it's not balancing at night. And if you have chronic cortisol, that's what's giving you that beer belly.
Interesting.
So that's predominantly where the beer belly comes from, is the fat accumulation from drinking so much. All the nutrients you absorbed, unfortunately, they're going to go to fat storage because your body's using the alcohol to metabolize and move your body instead. And alcohol is 9 calories per gram. So if you think about, you know, carbs and protein is only 4. When you're drinking alcohol, that's over double what you could eat.
Wow. And it's in a liquid form, so it's even easier to consume. And then
you do 5-6 shots, that's 500-600 calories.
Wow. I did not know that. Interesting. So can you say that again? So we had emphasis.
5-6 shots could be 500-600 calories.
That is crazy.
Yep.
And on top of that, I do find, at least back in the day when I did drink a little bit more, I don't drink as much now, is that I would also make worse food choices when I was impaired. Mm. Is that a common thing or?
So actually, alcohol does increase your appetite. So you do get hungry because think of the meal you ate and the alcohol you drink. Your body is using that alcohol as its energy, it's metabolizing that alcohol. The food you ate is getting stored, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then you're still hungry. So you go back and you eat even more food and you're putting even more calories into your body because your body didn't absorb the good nutrients you had prior to drinking.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. Learning a lot here in just the first 5 minutes.
Well, it's interesting. That's all it takes.
Yeah, it is crazy how quickly it can come on. And it is, I was aware of that, but I forgot that, you know, your body will use alcohol as a fuel source first before it starts burning the food that you even ate. So it's almost like if you eat bad and then you drink, you're just stacking things against you very quickly. And if you're trying to exercise and lose weight on top of that, I mean, that's a cortisol response as well. So that will actually, so I mean, it's cortisol on top of cortisol, low recovery, lower
chronic stress,
and then also chronic, yeah. And then your testosterone is low, which inhibits recovery. And like you said, protein synthesis. So it's harder to recover from workouts. So it sounds like a no-brainer to pretty limit alcohol consumption in general.
And it's a diuretic. So it's making you piss out all of your vitamins, minerals, nutrients that you just, you know, obviously ate from the food prior to that drinking. So unfortunately, all of that's going right out of you instead of staying in your body, going to the cells where it needs. So then you're inflamed and you're sore.
Yeah.
Because all of that good vitamins and fluid, right? You're urinating out of your fluid loss. I don't know if you've ever seen the morning after a heavy drinking, you're like, oh, I can see my abs. I'm really tight. You've lost more water than you needed to.
Interesting. Okay. Wasn't aware of that either.
Yeah. Look at your abs some morning.
So with drinking as well, I mean, this is just kind of a question that I have is that how come when I was younger, when I was in my like early 20s, I could drink pretty heavily the night before, wake up and then do a hard workout and be completely fine. But then now into my 30s, like I pretty much almost limit all my alcohol regardless in my mid 30s now. So walk us and navigate us through.
Sure. So as you age, your metabolism slows down. So you think of a child, right? If we put a Fitbit on a child, oh my gosh, sometimes you're like, they would burn like 4,000 calories for how much they're moving. As we age, that's slowing. Everything in our body, all of the metabolic processes is slowing. So for you, as you're drinking more, that's staying in your system a little bit longer, where you, as a younger age, could have metabolized a lot quicker.
Okay. So that makes sense. So that's why that, you know, there's a difference between your hangover in your 20s and then in your 30s or your 40s. Okay. What other health risks should people be aware of when they consume alcohol, especially if they're trying to get fit?
Sure. Every little drop counts, right? I mean, you think that one drink 5 nights a week is okay. And unfortunately, you add up, that's 500 calories, right? If you're trying to lose weight and see bigger muscles, 500 calories every single week can add up to a pound over a month.
Wow. That is crazy how quickly that can accumulate. Well, what would be some alternatives? Let's say people are, or what would be your advice when you work with your nutrition clients of you know, how people can kind of slowly wean themselves off of this and just reduce their drinking habit? You know, just eliminate it completely, but just reduce it.
Sure. So thinking of limiting, you know, instead of having a six pack, let's go to two. You know, and just kind of, or start with four, right? Sometimes we have to do baby steps for certain people, but realizing that it's, you know, it's really mental. It's not helping you achieve your goals to add excess calories. You could also find other alternative non-edible forms to break free from the routine of working out, eating right. So when I work with clients, we do a naughty menu, and that can be, you know, as funny as making up a personality and acting out or scaring somebody, you know, in a building around the corner, like some way to break out and have that wild fun again without actually being destructive to your health and your body.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So, but they come up with their own personality things. You know, one client said they put eggs hard boiled back into the carton so that their significant other was pissed every time they tried to open it. Or sitting in front of the TV while somebody's trying to watch it. You know, it gives you that way to break free from the routine of staying, you know, what we like to call straight edge, right? Mm-hmm. And so that way you can still act out, but not binge eat a bunch of sugar or, you know, get obliterated and waste your total workout for the whole week with getting wasted on the weekend with White Claw. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, great information. Really appreciate that, Krista. Let's move on to, actually one final question that I forgot to ask before we move on to our second, myth is that what would be the ideal amount of drinks per week?
Sure. So when you go
with you would allow.
Yeah. When you go to the doctor's office and they have you fill out that form, right? It usually starts from 1 to 3 drinks a week. Then it goes to 4 to 6, right? And you have to circle on the doctor's intake form, you know, where you're at that level. Everybody lies on that, right? You know, even me, I lived in Wisconsin. That was it's a huge drinking state. So we drank very often. I would circle the 1 to 3 when I knew it was the 4 to 6, right? So definitely 1 to 3 a week would be, you know, you want to be intentional too. If you like to enjoy yourself on the weekend, save it all for that one day, right? You know, and then be proactive beforehand. Hey, I know I'm going to have 300 calories worth of drinking tonight. Let's try to eat less, you know, for lunch. So that way I don't overeat in calories because I'm drinking.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Good to know. Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much, Krista. Let's move on to our second myth now. So number 2 is that if it fits your macros, it's okay. So for those, break down what a macro is.
Sure.
And what macros are for people who aren't aware of what that means.
Yep. So some people count calories, some people count macros. Some people count both. When I work with clients, we count both because, you know, you could have the macros that fit, but you could be way over in calories every single day. So macros are macronutrients, right? We like to use the big long word macronutrients, and they're your carbohydrates, your fat, and your protein. So the three main food sources that we eat and consume daily, they are required. That's why they're called macros. They're large. They're large nutrients that we need.
Right. Okay. Perfect. And explain to us why people have this mentality or what that even means of like, if it fits my macros, then it's okay. Kind of explain the mentality behind that.
Yeah. So if they've sat down with a nutrition expert who's given them, you know, these are macros, or even an app, you know, they can put in their height, their weight, calculate macros for me based on my activity. Then they try to just eat based on the amount of carbohydrates. So say, for instance, your macros for carbohydrates are 200 grams.
Mm-hmm.
And then for protein, you know, you are a 150 pound person, 150 grams, and then fat, maybe 65 grams. So they're looking at those grams of those three specific different macronutrients and trying to fit the food that they're eating within those macronutrients so that their body stays the composition that they're looking for.
Right. And in terms of body composition, we're talking about muscle to fat ratio and other health metrics. Okay. But why is this a bad thing? If I'm just like, let's say, for example, like I could drink 200 grams or whatever of alcohol.
Right.
And I could eat my macros.
Carbohydrates.
Right. Explain to us why, even though it fits my macros, why this is obviously a bad thing. Even though body composition wise, I might look good, but kind of walk us through that.
Sure. So you think of McDonald's chicken nuggets, right? I like to use this example. You go to the drive-thru, you get 60 chicken nuggets, 2 large fries. That fits my macros for the day, right? I had breakfast. I didn't eat lunch. This is my macros for the day for my protein and carbohydrates for dinner. Bam, I hit my macros. That's literally garbage food, right? Like you're eating processed meat, which if you looked up a chicken nugget, it has some of the meat, a lot of times skin. It has fillers. It has wheat, but it's bleached, enriched white flour, right? That's packed in it. And then it's coated with more bleached white flour. Then it's fried. So you think of that compared to a range-free, boneless, skinless chicken breast. Big difference in the quality of the food. So if it fits in your macros, that's numbers, but it's not, you're not thinking of the quality of what you're putting into your body. Right. So if you're putting in 60 chicken nuggets, or you could have had a whole rotisserie chicken, the quality of the body composition that you're going to have is not good.
Right.
On the chicken nugget side compared to the free range boneless, skinless chicken breast. Also, the quality of that macro. Right. You think of the chicken that's in here is probably fed GMO corn, never saw the light of day, you know, pumped with hormones. And then you think of range free, right? It got to eat bugs, you know, organic horse shit outside.
Jeez.
Real grain that came off from out in the fields and corn that was not GMO. So you think of the what you ate is going to also determine you as mm-hmm. well.
No, yeah.
And then body composition.
That makes perfect sense. And not to mention, even a side effect of even that is that you would be hungry. Like, because I mean, when you think about that, if you ate that, let's say, spread it throughout the day, that like that's not even enough food to keep you full
mm-hmm.
when you think about it. So is there also a direct correlation between healthier foods and actually staying full longer as well?
Yes. So back to the manufactured processed meat. Okay. So the chicken nugget. So that when they manufacture, again, last time I shared three chews is their goal to consume. if you were to chew a chicken nugget and a forkful of your boneless, skinless chicken breast, this will take 3 to 5 chews. This will take 10, 15, 20 chews, right? So the quality of the food that's going in you, right, on that chicken nugget is not going to fill you as much because it's stripped of all ingredients. Manufactured foods are stripped of ingredients and processed so that it's easier to chew, which also makes the fiber content a lot lower. Then it makes you, the fullness capacity in your stomach not full, right? If you're here with the nuggets, you're not full. Mm. You're here with the chicken breast, you're full because it's larger. It's not broken down. It's not stripped of nutrition.
Okay, awesome. And so tell us a little bit about, you know, like maybe the long-term effects of having this mentality. Like what's going to happen if I just choose foods, then I just only care about my macros, don't care about the quality of my food. What's the long-term effects of doing that, of making that choice?
Yeah. So obviously I've worked with CrossFitters who say, hey, Snickers fits into my macros. So does 5 apples. 5 apples and 1 Snicker are the same calories.
Wow.
But the fiber content of 5 apples, you're not going to eat 5. You could probably fit 3.
Yeah.
And that stomach capacity.
That's true.
1 Snickers is, you're going to be still hungry after that Snickers. So think of, you know, the quality of the calories you're eating will over time allow your body composition to look like the Pillsbury Doughboy or The Rock, right? You think The Rock eats processed lasagna and drive-through foods?
Probably not.
Not to have that body.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Okay. And, you know, just in your, this is more of an opinion thing, but, you know, what is your opinion on like the psychological or, I guess, behavioral aspects of like fitting junk food into my macros? Like, why do people kind of get into that mentality?
I believe that they don't have accountability. They don't have somebody that's looking over and saying, hey, you know, really? You'd rather choose 240 calories of a Snickers than eating, you know, a quality snack of like tuna salad, right? So when you think of it's their accountability of nobody's watching me and telling me what I have to eat.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we do have that inner rebel. We always have that inner rebel that, you know, has temptation. All of the commercials we watch, right? The billboards we drive by, even seeing somebody next to you at the stoplight eating a burger. You're like, oh man, I'm hungry. You know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So yeah, I think for a lot of people, it's the accountability of somebody's not, you know, lording over me and telling me what I do or don't eat.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're listening to this and you want to get a consult with Krista, she always gives a free consult to go over kind of what your nutrition looks like. She's helped at least 20 of our clients lose 3 to 5% body fat or more in their first 6 weeks with working with her. Krista, do you want to talk about that a little bit? Most recently, I think Claudio lost a ton of body fat percentage working with you for about 12 weeks.
Yeah, he's a very interesting story. Software engineer. So you think of sitting at a desk coding all day, probably a gamer, probably sitting playing video games at night too, right? Very sedentary. Came into CrossFit within starting CrossFit, working with Coach Kim and me, has been down 12% body fat, increased his muscle mass over 8 pounds. Visceral fat went from 8 down to 2.
Wow, 8 down to 2, which is a big deal. And real quick, for everyone who doesn't know what visceral fat is, explain what that is really quick.
Yeah, so visceral fat is the fat that is actually inside the abdominal area that coats all of your organs. So it is actually the fat that is associated with diabetes, heart disease, stroke, long-term chronic disease. So that is one that we try to track predominantly on our in-body scale with clients. Is we want that always to go low. So that way, I mean, yes, we have subcutaneous fat that's going to be there. But the visceral fat is one definitely we want to manipulate.
Yeah, that's the one that we definitely have to keep tabs on for sure, especially for long-term health. And before we move on to our last myth, kind of tell us how you work with your clients when it comes to macronutrients.
Yeah, so it depends on the client, right? If they come to me and, hey, Krista, I usually go to the drive, you know, some guys, I come to the drive-thru, I'm a bachelor. I come to the drive-thru 3-4 times a week and, you know, I want to change my eating habits. We might not count macros for a couple weeks, right? I want them to, let's start eating real food. Let's do baby steps. Counting macros and calories for some people is very overwhelming. So we start with intuitive eating, listening to that honoring hunger and fullness, And then eventually, as they progressed and can do a simple 4-day energy experiment of tracking food, then I know if they can track food for 4 days, then we can teach them macros.
Okay.
Yep.
Got
so
it. Yeah, there's always baby steps ahead, yep. Right? Yeah.
So once we get to that point, we obviously check out what your body weight is at that time, because some people have lost weight, you know, in those couple weeks. And then I do the calculation based on what they are and their goals. So whether they're trying to gain weight to gain muscle or lose weight to lose fat, do calculations based on their body. And then I calculate macronutrients for them. And then we learn MyFitnessPal is usually the easiest app for most people on how to learn tracking. Plus, there's a free app side of it as well.
Yeah.
As
okay.
Paid.
Fantastic. Well, really good to know, Chris. So that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that with us. One last question. How kind of similar to the alcohol question I asked before we moved on was, so how do you kind of balance like the flexibility though of quality food choices where you can still optimize your diet, but also still having a little bit of fun foods in your diet mm-hmm. as well? What's kind of give us like a ballpark range of like how to optimize that?
Sure. So the adherence of 90%, right? 90% of like that's your work week, right? We want to hit 90% of what I'm eating in healthy whole foods, and then 10% of fun, right? Fun cheat. And we want a cheat meal, not a cheat day, because a cheat day could throw off your entire week.
No, that's very true. Mm-hmm. That's very true. That's really good advice. Thank you so much, Krista. Let's move on to our third myth now. So we're going to talk about natural or all natural labels are good for you. Now, this is a kind of a buzzword because mm-hmm. natural is a very broad term, because I guess technically everything is natural if you think about it. Depending on how you frame it. So so just kind of give us some context on, you know, foods labeled natural or all natural, are they actually healthier or not?
Sure. That's a great question. Unfortunately, no. The answer for that is no. I personally, you know, would always gravitate towards natural, all natural, being a nutritionist. You know, that's the word. Like, you grab that. But you want to look at the ingredients label in the back. So unfortunately, the FDA does not regulate the word natural or all natural in any products. So what we have to do is flip over the back. Normally, all natural would mean it is free of artificial colors, flavors, and preservatives. So unfortunately, if you look at the back of the nutrition facts panels, you'll see, you know, butter flavoring or red 40 or nitrates or nitrites or sulfites. Those are those key buzzwords that are actually not all natural. So in order for an ingredient to sit out at room temperature, it has to have a preservative in it, right? Otherwise, these food manufacturers would be paying for refrigerator and freezer space to store their food. Mm-hmm. So in order to sit out at room temperature, majority of the foods do have a preservative in them.
Okay.
Long term, that can cause cancer.
Interesting.
Yep.
I did not know that.
Yep. Also allergic reactions. Some people, they'll start with allergic reactions, hives, headaches, asthma.
Okay.
And then eventually that could chronically lead to cancer.
Wow.
Preservatives.
That is bad.
So sulfites, nitrates, and nitrites are three big words that you want to look for on the back of ingredients labels.
Yeah, ingredients labels is a big thing. It's one thing to look at the nutrition facts or the macros, but yeah, actually seeing what is actually in there is extremely important. Explain to us really quick, like why would people put nitrates and preservatives in there in the first place?
Yeah, so it actually helps it have a shelf life so it doesn't spoil. So that, for instance, you think of beef jerky. Beef jerky is a big one that has nitrates in it. So sometimes you'll look for beef jerky that says no nitrates or nitrites. And that's the one you want to grab.
Okay.
But unfortunately, they do, you know, you think it's meat. Meat sitting out at room temperature. Bacteria grows, right? So that's why they put preservatives in a food. So the bacteria doesn't grow. But unfortunately, they're putting synthetic food into our real food, which is causing all of these issues. The hyperactivity, right? The artificial colors causes hyperactivity or unsettledness, anxiety. The flavoring of food actually is killing your gut flora. So you think of Dots pretzels has butter flavoring, right? That is actually an ingredient that is killing your gut flora. So the little microbiome in your body, that's your little sewage guys, they're actually being killed by artificial flavors. So to think of, that's one of our defense systems against the outside world, environment, bacteria. That being hindered, unfortunately, it's an ingredient we shouldn't be eating.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Are there any other big things that we should be looking out for, like big words that we should be looking out for to avoid in these kind of foods?
Yeah. Monosodium glutamate is in a lot of, unfortunately, Asian dishes, is a big ingredient that is known to cause cancer as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any others that we need to, now I'm interested. That you can think of off the top of your head.
Yeah, I mean,
those are the big ones.
You'll see the color. You'll see the artificial color, and then they'll have the number next to them too. And then flavoring, right? Any of the colors, any of the flavorings, and then the sulfates, nitrites.
Oh, mm-hmm. So there's two different ones?
Mm-hmm.
What are the difference?
Unfortunately, I don't know that answer.
Okay. No, it's okay. I didn't expect you to, because that seems like a very narrow thing, because I didn't even, yeah.
So that's the preservatives, Zaddy.
And that's totally okay. I wouldn't expect you to know, but very interesting. I didn't know there was two different ones to begin with. Interesting. Okay. And how many products, just in your opinion, or that you see that these quote-unquote natural products, you know, contain additives, sugars, or unhealthy ingredients? Would you say it's the majority of them?
Yeah, probably.
So just avoid, yeah.
80%.
80%, okay.
I mean, goodness, you look at Skippy, right? Skippy says natural peanut butter, and then they have their other brand of Skippy, the other Skippy versions, but they have one that says natural. And you read the back, and you're like, natural should just mean peanuts, right?
Right.
There's peanuts, palm kernel oil, hydroxo, something I can't pronounce, you know, like more ingredients than just peanuts. So
right.
Unfortunately, do read the ingredients labels, because they will tell you if it is a natural product or not.
Okay. Wow. That's intense. So it's essentially just a marketing trick.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other marketing tricks that we need to be looking out for?
Probably low fat or non-fat, okay. You know, those buzzwords. Yeah.
Okay.
Generally, they tend to put other sugar or extra salt in for flavor to taste better, or these artificial flavors as well. They'll put it in to taste better, because when you take out the fat, you're taking out a lot of the good flavor of the food, right?
Right.
So they put, you know, extra sugar in to make it still taste good.
Interesting. Okay. And what are some tactical things that we can do in order to avoid falling trapped to some of these marketing tactics?
Sure. So I think taking time to read ingredients labels. So whether you go buy it at the store and read it when you come home, right? That's what I would do. Sometimes eating a bowl of cereal and I'm like, oh, never mind this again. Sometimes you don't have time to stand there when everybody's shopping at 5 p.m. Or as you order on like DoorDash or the Instacart, they have the ingredients labels next to the pictures of the product.
Okay. Good to know. Oh, fantastic. I always love it when we can actually have something that we can actually act upon and avoid these things to begin with. It seems like we've almost gotten to the point where like we can't eat anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Like, mm-hmm. You know, it's just the point where companies, they just want to save money. They want to make sales and lower the cost of what it takes to produce everything and just increase their profit margins,
and
regardless
keep
of what.
Keep them coming back.
Yes, exactly.
Addicted to that product. Yeah. Yes, I watched the making of how Pop-Tarts came.
I love
Pop-Tarts. Interesting.
You don't eat them anymore, but I can't believe how much, because my childhood, I ate so much McDonald's, Pop-Tarts, drank soda and all this stuff, and I don't touch any of that now. And it's funny how over time my palate has changed. And I think that's what a lot of people can sometimes get tripped up in, is that they don't like it at first, but I'm like, hey, give it a shot, because over time,
right,
you will adapt.
Taste buds change.
And also when you feel better and you get rewarded for that over and over again, that, hey, when I eat healthy, I feel better. I eat healthy, I feel better. Just reinforced over time that, you know, you won't even want to go back. And it took me a long time to get out of that process. And I think a lot of people get hooked into this timeline where it's like, hey, in 6 weeks, I need to, you know, I'm going to go from zero to hero. When really it takes more like 6 years and just kind of very slowly adding things or taking things away at a very slow rate. And that's where a good coach comes in, where nutrition coaching and you have an expert actually helping you walk through this, because doing it on your own, like, let's face it, you're already busy enough, you know, just outsource that, because we already outsource so many other things. So get a nutrition coach, get a CrossFit coach or personal trainer, whatever, because it just helps the process so much faster. And then, you know, people backtrack all the time. People mm-hmm. on the bandwagon,
yep.
Especially with nutrition. It's one thing with workouts, but it's even worse with nutrition. So give us some advice on you for from you coming as a nutrition coach. You know, what is that point when most people fall off the wagon? And what's the best way to get back on?
Yeah. Usually within week five. Week five statistically is when people start falling off because they're either not seeing results or they're getting bored of the same routine. Your brain wants to revert back to what was comfortable. So you have that inner rebel fighting you the whole time of, hey, this was easier. Hey, sleeping in was better. You know, I enjoyed eating chocolate over eating apples, right?
Right.
So when you change, your brain always wants to revert back. So unfortunately, if you have a coach, it makes it a little easier, right? So when you're trying to change a new habit, it's a lot better to have support. Somebody who you can vent to, who can give you encouragement, who can give you that, you know, swift kick in the ass when you need of like, hey, absolutely, stop. You know, one client I worked with this past week, she said, unfortunately, I opened the box of Halloween candy and I just kept dipping into it. And I was like, put that away. Throw it away. Put it away. Give it to your neighbor. Stop. Sometimes people need that accountability.
They really do.
Hey, dude, we've gone 6 weeks now and you've done really, really good 6 weeks not having any of that. And now it's holiday season and what's going through your head?
Yeah.
And so, you know, the memory of Halloween when I was a kid, people have all sorts of stories that they relate food to emotion. So that's why a lot of us fall off target. Yeah, right?
It's an emotional thing. And I agree with that because a lot of the ties that I have when I do reach for something, it is usually something from my childhood that I really enjoyed or something when I was younger that I really like. Like, for example, I love burgers and fries because I remember memories of going with my mom through the drive-thru at McDonald's and being so excited to get a Happy Meal that even to this day, burgers and fries are like a big weakness of mine to where it's like, I really want that. It could, you know, it brings back all that. So, yeah. And then, you know, navigating that as a whole nother animal other than just tackling just strictly the macronutrients, the calories, the supplements, all that stuff. And it's really easy to oversee the emotional aspect of eating and the habits behind it in the first place. And that's where a coach comes into play as well.
Yeah. So when I work with clients, unfortunately, I have to confront them of that, you know, like, hey, you would have changed already your eating habits if you could, but you haven't. Why? Because you need that accountability. You need somebody to hold the mirror up, point at you and say, hey, this is not helping your goal. We all know what to eat, right? Everybody, when I work with clients, I know what to eat. But it's the habits that really need to change. The habits of what we're doing on the off times of between the meals.
Yeah.
Generally is where people fall off.
No, fantastic. No, that's great to know. And I 100% agree with you. Any final things that you want to say before we wrap things up here about any of these three myths or anything that you want to summarize?
Yeah, if you guys have any more myths that unfortunately you think that may be good or bad for you, feel free to let Matt know and we can do that for our next podcast.
No,
to bust all the myths that are out there of what we think is good is really not.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. No, that's a great idea, everyone. Please send us any more myths or anything that even you think you might need help on. We'll definitely cover it in our next podcast with Krista. And thank you guys all so much for listening. So many of you have come up to me and told me how much you enjoy the podcast and listen to it and how much it helps. So do me a favor. Please share this with a friend. Let's help them out because we do this completely for free. We're not looking to make money off this podcast at all. We just want to keep helping and spreading the knowledge out there for free for everyone. So share this with a friend. And just because every time we see the numbers go up on listeners or plays, that it keeps us motivated to keep producing all this stuff for you guys. Thank you so much for listening. If this was helpful, please leave us a 5-star review so we know to make more content just like this. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Red Wolf CrossFit and DM your content suggestions there. We'd love to hear from you. Until next time, good luck. Have fun. Nailed it.